Blog Talk Radio.
I keep, I stand amazed as stars on the billows gleam. No, I know a storm is rising high above a dark horizon. I know, oh Lord, I know you are here with me. So let there be light, Lord, let it shine out of your heart and hearing in mind. When it rains from heaven above, let it rain sweet heavenly love. Let there be light, oh Lord, let there be light. There's a call on the restless tide, like a longing endless night. And it breaks the bow like a raging symphony. And though I may be far from shore, I am anchored to heaven's door. And oh Lord, I know you are here with me. So let there be light, and Lord, let it shine out of your heart, here and in mine. Lead me out of the eye of the storm into the promise of the crimson dawn. Let there be light, oh Lord, let there be light. Your grace is enough, your grace is enough. Find me here, oh Lord, surrounded by an ocean of love. Your grace is enough, your grace is enough. Find me here, oh Lord, surrounded in an ocean of love. Your grace is enough, your grace is enough. Find me here, oh Lord, I'm surrounded by an ocean of your love. So let there be light, and Lord, let it shine. The crimson dawn, let there be light, oh Lord, oh Lord, let there be light, let there be light, sweet Jesus, let there be light, let there be light, oh Lord, let there be light.
Good afternoon, dear saints of God. Good afternoon, and welcome to another weekly edition of the End Time News Report with the one and only Sister Marie. Well, she's already in studio. We are set to go. But you know what we do around here. We make announcements, and very, very important announcements. If you are in need of prayer, if you need a miracle in your life, if you need divine intervention, if you need God to step into your storm, your mess, your situation, then I would encourage you for you not only to pray for yourself, but also send us your prayer request. And we promise to pray for you each and every day. All you have to do to get your prayer request to us is send it to powerofprayer2018 at gmail.com, powerofprayer2018 at gmail.com, and we promise to pray for you. Saints, don't forget to continue to pray for Sister Elena, the daughter of our beloved Sister Linda, who went to be with the Lord some months ago. Sister Elena is recovering. She's in her third week of recovery, and we're praying her full recovery as she rests at home, as she stays home and just allows her body to, you know, regenerate after the surgery. So continue to pray for her. Also, my precious brothers and sisters, don't forget that Sister AJ will be in studio tomorrow at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to continue her wonderful series on Jesus in Hollywood. And what a time we've been having with that series. It is a great series. And I got to tell you, everything that my sisters do, look, for all those guys out there who don't want women in ministry and don't want women doing this and women doing that, this whole radio platform is based on female output. That's it. The women are presenting the programs, the themes, the audio, the everything. I just happen to be coming along for the ride. I am your button pusher here. And every now and then, they are so nice that they would ask me, what do I think? And I get to put my theological two cents in. But I got to tell you, the Lord is doing a wonderful job with these sisters. And by the way, this is Sister Marie's 245th program. In a couple of weeks, she would reach the plateau, the milestone of 250 broadcasts. 250. That marks a five-year period. And, of course, she's been on for 6 years. There's been some other shows that she did. She came on with me at first. She was coming on doing some stuff with me. But she's been around for 6 years. Sister Marie's been at this for 6 years. And we thank the Lord for her. And many of you have thanked the Lord over the years for her. So don't forget, my brothers and sisters, to continue to pray for all of the hosts. And so Sister AJ will be in studio tomorrow at 2, Jesus in Hollywood. And listen, we have a school of ministry. We have a Bible school free of charge. We don't charge you tuition. We don't charge you registration fee. We don't even sell you books. You know how in most Bible schools, they have you take 8 courses a semester, and for each one of those courses, there is either 1 or 2 books. And, of course, the Bible schools buy these books from the publishing houses at cost, and then when they sell it to you, there's a markup on the book. We don't even sell books here. Now, I'll make book recommendations, but it's up to you to get them, and I always encourage you to get them used. So we have a Bible school, again, no registration fee, no tuition fee, no textbook fee. And I got to tell you, T.D. Jakes has a school of ministry. You know how much he charges? In the thousands. In the thousands. We don't charge you anything. And we are not teaching you nonsense like T.D. Jakes is. So if you want to sign up for the school, which is year-round, it's a year-round school, all you have to do is email us at IIBMS2020. Again, IIBMS2020@gmail.com. And there's a nice young man by the name of Miguel Rivera. He'll receive your email. He happens to be the registrar. And he'll continually send you emails letting you know what to do next. But it's easy peasy. You send us an email telling us you're interested in joining the school. Brother Miguel sends you a congratulatory email thanking you for joining the school, and then he'll start sending you an email, and in that email there's an outline. Embedded in the outline there's a link, and you click on the link, it takes you right to your first class, and the outlines are just, listen, they're great outlines, and that's it. Everything's free. So join today, because the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray ye to the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Join today, my precious brothers and sisters. All right. Without any further ado, here is Sister Marie. Hey, my sister, how you doing today?
I'm recouping. I'm fine.
Amen. You are on vacation. You were on vacation. And let me tell you,
pictures. That was holiday boot camp. I went with my husband.
Okay. Holiday boot camp. Okay. Yeah, but, you know, listen, my wife, this is my wife. My wife, she loves trips. And mm-hmm. I can always tell that she wants to go on a trip because she's a map woman. She's a McNally map woman. And she has all these maps.
Right.
And what she'll do is she'll tell me, okay, this is where we live, and this is the route that we're going to take. And I'm saying to myself, mm-hmm. How many miles is this? She loves to put on the miles. And I'm just exhausted just looking at the map, just listening to her all the time. I'm just saying, I need a vacation after just watching her do her thing with the map.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
Well, I mapped it out, and, it was farther than I thought on the map, but, yeah, it was boot camp, all right. Up running.
It.
So
that's
when
it.
I got yeah. home, I was tired. I was really tired when I got
sure.
home.
Sure. Sure. And you sent me some nice pictures, and, boy,
mm-hmm.
what a wonderful trip. To Wyoming and North Dakota and beautiful country.
South Dakota, Montana.
Yeah, South Dakota. Yeah. Just beautiful, beautiful, beautiful country where the buffalo roam and there are no COVID crazies, right?
No, not at all.
No COVID crazies.
Nope.
Yeah.
Didn't even hear about COVID. You know, nobody was talking about COVID out there. Nobody was talking about vaccines. Nobody was talking about, asking about vaccinations. People were just enjoying life. Totally different.
Sure. Absolutely.
Totally different.
Yeah. I mean, there's so much land, right? I mean, there's so much space.
Oh.
So much, my goodness. What a wonderful place to live at. I mean, it's just,
it's so vast.
That's a mountain man's dream come true, living out there.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So
I mean, you could literally get lost out there just if you wanted to.
Sure.
Just anywhere out there.
Yeah.
I don't think we hit any traffic. The route that we took going out like through North Dakota on, I think it was 90, we took, there was no traffic, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't hit any traffic until we came back through Iowa and Illinois, Indiana, things like that
on 80.
I believe it's 80. That was the only traffic out there. Everywhere we went, there was no traffic going out there. It was just so quiet. Unbelievable.
Wow.
The only thing you heard was the animals.
Yeah.
For a long
time.
So
nature, Beautiful nature.
Yep.
And, of course, you took Chico with you, one of your dogs.
Yeah.
And I saw Chico in the pictures, and Chico was all thumbs up. Chico loved it, and I want to thank you for
he kept us laughing.
He was what?
He kept us laughing. He kept us laughing. You know, he's just young yet, so he does some really funny things, and he was the laugh of the trip. You know, he felt he got caught between the seats, and we looked behind us, and he was standing up on his back legs, caught between the seats, riding along, didn't say a word, you know.
That's it.
No
that's
barking.
It. That's
oh,
it.
He's funny.
Just enjoying life, enjoying life. Hey, how did he react when he got back home and he was with his buddy, the big dog? How did he react?
Oh, he ran around and same old thing, biting the big dog's tail, biting all the dog's tails.
Wow,
he just got right back into the hyper, chasing other dogs, you know, chasing them around and... You know, they chase him and he outruns them and jumps over couches and chairs. And, you know, he was excited.
Wow. Yeah, they were.
He thought we lost our home.
Yeah, because I'm sure he's wondering, where am I going? Where are the dogs? where are my buddies, you know? And I'm sure when he got home, it must have been, wow. You know, he must have felt like Dorothy when Dorothy clicked her heels and she was back home, you know? And he must have been.
Hey, we weren't evicted. We have a house.
Exactly.
You know.
And I want to thank you for the bear root that you brought me back to handle my coughing and so tomorrow because I called you and I asked you today because this time the bear root that you sent me was different from the when you sent it to me the last time, so I had some questions. So tomorrow. You'll see a difference when I come on the AJ show because I'm gonna try the tea tomorrow morning. And
right.
Yeah. So and that stuff is potent. That bear root is potent stuff.
Yeah. It doesn't take a lot. I just tried it. You know, I had got some too, and I put a little bit in a cup because you had a question. And it was a good question. So I poured hot water in it, and it didn't, just a little bit I put in, and it didn't dissolve totally. But it changed the water color, and the smell and the aroma were fantastic off it. But, it doesn't totally dissolve, but dissolve, and it doesn't take much. So, we'll see how you do tomorrow.
Yeah, I'll just pinch my nose and roll my eyes back and just swallow hard. That's what you do. That's what you do.
That's it.
I do it every day. My wife has me drinking a bunch of concoctions. So that's what I have to do. And she lines me up.
Yeah.
You know, my grandmother used to line me up for cod liver oil. And now that my grandmother's gone home to be with the Lord, my wife lines me up in the morning. Open up.
Yes.
Come on. Stop being a child. Open up. And, swallow. And, that's it. I'm a little boy all over again.
Yeah.
I'm a little boy.
But, you know, that stuff is for upper respiratory. The main purpose of that is for upper respiratory. And I can tell you it works because we had it in the car. You know, taking it all around, and it knocked out a sinus infection in a day.
Right.
So just the smell of it, you know, engulfing the car in 180 heat. Yes. I mean, it just totally knocked it right out of my head. So, you know, it worked for me.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see.
Sure.
We'll see.
Absolutely. All right. Well, we're back to the Great Reset. Which is a great theme. It's the Great Reset. You know, the time that you were away, I was watching the news, and I kept saying, oh, there's another great example of the Great Reset. Oh, there's another example.
Yeah.
And now I'm able to pick it up because of the series that you've done, right? This is the second time you're doing this because you already did on the Great Reset.
Yeah,
but
we did it before it came. Before it was here.
Right. So now when I watch the news, I'm able to pick it up. Here you go again. This is what they're trying to do. So share with our brothers and sisters what this agenda is all about, and then We'll move on from there.
Okay, well, the last time we were together, we played an audio on The Great Reset by Michael O'Fallon. And from that, we got a short history on the French Revolution. And it was noted how similar strategies are being used by the leaders today, and they resemble those that were used during that generation, you know, during the French Revolution. Most notably for me is how these leaders continue to strive to achieve moral perfection without God, and we know that's impossible. These leaders became guardians over the population under the guise of the well-being or for the good of the entire community as a whole. And that's exactly what we're seeing today. This was a matter of public safety. And according to them, you know, it was like a one-size-fits-all mentality. And this is what we see. So Mr. O'Fallon, taking us to the French Revolution, you know, extraordinary, because they had the same thing going on during that time. Health equality became controlling the population, the entire population. It wasn't about health. It was just about control. And individual choice was lost during that time. I read an article the other day where the government hopes to eliminate the idea of my body, my choice. Now, my body, my choice worked for abortions, but it won't work for the vaccines down the road. Both these agendas, the vaccines and abortions, believe it or not, serve the same purpose in this agenda. So, you know, they want to eliminate that because that's the first thing we said. What happened with my body, my choice? Well, that's going to be eliminated. They use that exact term. They don't want you to have a choice anymore about your own body. So during that time period, churches were forced to submit to the government. Personal sermons were replaced with sermons that promoted national value or national interest. And we heard about the T.H. Chan School of Public Health out of Harvard. And amazingly, Chan, who was involved in public health, also pushed to suppress free speech, and he did that with China. So that's a lot of what we're seeing today, too. So that kind of connects China with this whole thing. And finally, we discussed alchemy. Alchemy brings about a desired state of affairs that looks for operational success. So it's an agenda that works, you know, so to speak. That's it. Or you could say out of chaos comes order. That's exactly what they're using in this. And what effect did that have during that time period, during the French Revolution? A great amount of the population were exterminated because they disagreed with the leaders and refused to cooperate with the establishment. So the bottom line is they're looking to start year zero. That is the Great Reset. So do you have any questions on that or any comments?
Well, we think about it. My question would be, in France, and what other, after France, what other countries do you think it has already happened in? What, you know, the experimental ground was France, and it happened there. What countries do you see today that have already fallen to the Great Reset, if any?
The EU countries.
Okay.
European Union. I see a lot of them that are falling for that. Now, Britain left the EU, but they're still going with the program, you see? It's just, it's behind. They're a little behind. Other countries, I think, connected with the EU are joining together. So the EU, it's not a good organization. And I thought Britain leaving it would be a good thing, but it's they're only leaving
right.
it on paper.
Right, right. So in other words, they severed the relationship with the EU, but they're still following
mm-hmm.
the EU's playbook.
Exactly.
Okay.
Because it's global. It's going to go global, you see.
Mm-hmm.
So the
mm-hmm.
EU was a good place to start, I think. I think one of the worst right now is Australia. They have military boots on the ground making sure that people obey COVID restrictions.
Really? Really?
Yes. Yes. That's according to Hugo. And it's true because people were commenting from Australia. So,
wow.
Yes. And it's not the first time I've heard that. There's all kinds of crazy things going on.
Hmm.
You know, all over. The United States, they're having a hard time here. They're having a hard time here. Not on the East Coast. Not so much in the West Coast, California, forget it. It's gone.
Wow.
Oregon, bad news. But like you and I have talked about before, it's the middle of the country that are resisting this. They just aren't paying attention.
Right.
To what's going on. They're just not listening to what these so-called experts are telling them. And they're living their own life.
Right.
You
come from a state where the governor is a dictator, right? I mean, the governor.
Correct.
She tries to control even, how many times you breathe.
Yes.
Right? She's you can only breathe, 10 times a day. For the rest
right.
of the time, according to her, you have to hold your breath. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so here you went on vacation, you went to these other places, and you said, and correct me if I'm wrong, boy, this isn't where I come from. This is a completely different
correct.
World, even though we are in the same United States.
Correct. Totally different. The only thing I saw when we were gone that I think was disturbing to me, there's no, they may have a sign here and there about, if you're vaccinated, wear a mask. I saw very few people with masks on. I could probably count them.
Wow.
That's how few, and they were mainly older people. You didn't hear it, but we went to one government site and it said it was a government monument, and it says federal law requires that you wear a mask if you're not vaccinated. This was on a government site, and I said, whoa, wait a minute, time out. Federal law does not require that.
Right.
But a lot of people will look at that and think, wow, that's a law now, a federal law. No, it's not. So I don't know who they're fooling. That was at Mount Rushmore, by the way. And I
was that majestic?
No,
was that beautiful?
Yeah, it was. I mean, it's the area surrounding it is gorgeous. I think if I could pick a place to live, it would be South Dakota because of the laid back, the laid back mentality, excellent governor there so far.
Right. So, yeah.
She's, I'm sure they can turn at any moment. We know that.
Mm-hmm.
But very laid back there, yeah. But nobody had a mask on. And, very few. If there were any, it was the workers mainly. And
mm-hmm.
But they're promoting that this is federal law. So they're lying to the people.
Right.
They're lying.
Wow.
I'm sure other people said, wait a minute, when did that law change? That's not federal
mm-hmm.
law.
Right.
But by posting it, people will presume it is, and they
mm-hmm.
will follow that. You see? A little game going on.
Sure.
So.
Sure.
Interesting.
Very interesting. Yeah. The reason why I ask about, the reason why I ask about Mount Rushmore is because in one of our little family trips, my wife wanted to go see Plymouth Rock, right?
Right.
And and so it was because at the time she was homeschooling the kids and they were doing the whole pilgrims thing. And that's the time that we went to Boston to see our dear sister Kimberly. Remember we went to go see Sister Kimberly?
Yes.
It was on that Plymouth Rock deal. So when I got to Plymouth Rock, I said, "Where's the rock?" And it was a little itty bitty thing. And I said, "That's it? I came all this way to see this thing here? This is it? This is Plymouth Rock?" And, of course, I made such a stink about it that I was in the doghouse that weekend because my wife says, "No, you were supposed to encourage the kids. But look, you made, you know, you put the rock down." I said, but it's a little rock. I came all this is it?
To look at a rock side of the
road.
Right,
right, right. So that's why I'm asking, because she wants to go. She's been telling me she wants to go to Mount Rushmore, and I'm just playing stupid. I got to tell you, I'm playing stupid. You know,
well,
like
it is.
Conversation.
It is unique. I mean, it's incredible to look at. Yes.
I don't want to look at it. I hope it's not a little rock. I hope it's not a little thing.
No, it's not a little rock. It's not a little rock. No.
That's why I asked, because I went to, I drove all that way to Plymouth Rock to see some, I'm telling you, I was saying, this, I can't believe this is they landed on this, the pilgrims put their foot on this. What made this rock so special? There's bigger rocks at home than this. And she says, the difference, darling, is that the pilgrims did not land where we live at. They landed here. Okay. But I was expecting I was expecting something, you know, more, you know.
Profound.
Yeah.
Well, you'll probably see bigger rocks out there than you will Plymouth Rock, just on the side of the road. So, it's, you know, it was. But, you know, they've commercialized everything, so you have to think of that.
Yeah,
they've
money.
They've taken control of it's,
Sure, yeah, money.
You got to pay
the park. And
that's
okay. Listen, I get it. Listen, those are national parks. They have to be preserved, and it takes money to preserve them, right? I mean, it's a work of art from what I'm told and from what I've seen in pictures and in slides. You know, this is a massive work of art. Right? Massive.
Correct.
So, again, that's what I'm told. I was told that Plymouth Rock was big, too, and it wasn't. But I'm going to take your word for it because you've been there a number of times and you've already seen
huge.
It. So, yeah.
This is huge.
Okay,
yep.
Good. So if I happen to decide to acquiesce and drive there, I won't be disappointed. I won't be disappointed. So let's see.
Right, and make sure the brakes are good. We had to have our brakes fixed when we were there because we were in so many high mountainous areas at times, and we noticed it was shaking a little our brakes. And my husband said, "You know, if we're going to go through these mountain passes, we probably need to have our brakes looked at." We did.
Right,
that's a good thing. It's a good
And your
thing
husband is a car guy. He's a car guy, so he knows about brakes.
No, he's not a car guy. He just felt it shaking, and he knows there was a cliff in a mountain on one side and a cliff on the other. And he thought, this is not good. This is
right,
not good.
Right. Okay.
It's starting to quiver, the steering wheel.
All right.
So, yeah, we had the brakes fixed, and it only took a day. We found somebody that would do it. Take a little time and a few hours, and we were moving again. So that worked out good. But, it was, you could smell them burning.
Okay.
So,
I get it.
Okay.
Wow, that's scary. That's scary.
Yeah. Well, you know, I put prayer first through the mountains. I can tell you that. We had some, you know, we had a car, and for some reason, I don't know if any other person experiences this. So my husband, they bite. Normal flies bite my husband.
Wow.
Have you ever heard of that?
No.
They love, well, I haven't either, but a normal fly will find my husband in a car and bite him. They actually bite him.
Wow.
And I heard they bite when it rains, but they just bite my husband, you know. So we were in the car and we're going through one of these mountain passes, and it was so scary. I mean, there was nothing on my side and a mountain with falling rocks on the other. And a fly is in the car and got in. We had the window down for a minute. And a fly got in and started biting him in the middle of it. And he's trying to swat the fly. And I'm yelling for him to watch the road. It was a moment. I'll tell you. We pulled over where it said, you know, check your brake. We pulled over. I said, I'm getting the fly out of the car. I couldn't stand it anymore. Because he said,
wow.
Darn fly, he's swatting the flies, and I'm worried about going over the cliff. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had a few moments. We had a few moments there. But, yeah, I don't know why they bite him. You know, I don't know. Retaliation? British? I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe the blood is sweet. Maybe the blood is sweeter. You never know.
I doubt it.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah.
Okay. This is the audio. I think we left off at 41. So can we go back to 39? Because I think he was making a point. And there's only about, I think at 51, he does advertisements or something. So we have about 10 minutes of this audio. Feel free to stop it if you want to. This is the ending of The Great Reset with Michael O'Fallon. And we'll just end this, and then we'll start a new audio. If you want to do that, that's fine.
Yep. Here it is.
Okay.
They have the new system that is ready to be implemented. And by the way, in this new system, you lose your property rights. Also, in this new system down the road, you lose your cognitive liberty, not just your free speech, but free thought. They just have to push the system in with or without your permission, deceiving you and manipulating you down and along the way, destroying your economy along the way, that old economy that was working so well, if you remember, just until this past March, you know, just a few months ago. Now you just have to trash that entire system. It's broken. And all of your old dreams and plans. And by the way, with the corporations that are participating in the Great Reset that are on board with the World Economic Forum, you know, folks like Bank of America and so forth, they've been knowing about some of this for quite a while. They especially knew about this in June, and they're still extending 15 and 30-year fixed mortgages. They're still extending bank loans with the understanding that those monetary instruments might be changing quite soon. Because in the plans, what needs to happen is that it all needs to be destroyed. All of it needs to be deconstructed. And it all needs to be replaced with what you have been planning for years at the World Economic Forum, at Open Society Foundations, at the UN, with China. For years they've been planning this. And sadly, for years I was quiet about this, and I shouldn't have been. I should have spoken up, and I should have been bolder with you over the last 3 years. But with all of us, it's fear. Also the fact that some of the things that I said 2 years ago, you thought I was nuts to say these things. How crazy. That will never happen. Well, here we are. And even though the new system that is coming will prohibit your children from having a natural biological family as you have had, that all the generations before you obviously have. Well, that's now on the chopping block. That's just the price of progress in the new system. Because the new family is the state. You see, the average person in Nebraska, Florida, Arizona, New York, or Georgia is just not capable of thinking on the same wavelength as the new intelligentsia that has much better ideas than you do about how to run your life, about how to run your state, about how to run your nation, and how to run our world. And certainly, they know much better than you do about how to plan the future and how to raise your children from here on. And again, this has already been laid out quite plainly for a number of years. You can go right to the websites of the World Economic Forum, to the United Nations Agenda 2030, and you can read it. And guess what you're going to start to see? Is that most of the things, especially on the World Economic Forum in Agenda 2030, those are the things that you're seeing in the policies now of the Democratic National Committee. That's what you're seeing from Joe Biden. Build Back Better? Build Back Better was a phrase from the World Economic Forum about the Great Reset. You see, it's hiding in plain sight. It's just that no one is referring to it, and everyone still thinks that this is just a Democrat versus Republican issue. It isn't. Those categories don't even exist, really, in a few years, if the trans-civilizationals get their chance. Now, keep in mind, these rules will not apply to the Davos man or woman. For the royal family, which is, if you've seen, Prince Charles has come out with his whole plan for the Great Reset. Or for those that are the engineers and architects of this new system. You see, that's the trade-off. You're protected.
Now, I want to stop it there because I asked you, where do you see this thing took, the Great Reset took place in France, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I asked you, where do you see, you know, is there a country, is there a place where this is taking place? And you said England, and there you go. They just mentioned Prince Charles. Right?
Yeah, Prince Charles is involved in this. They just had a little bit more. I'm saying Australia, France, you know, they've drank the Kool-Aid. England, you still have people resisting, a lot of people resisting. So they're making it a little more difficult for Prince Charles to get what he wants, a little bit, not like the United States. But they are making it hard for him to get what he wants. There's resistance,
but,
you know.
Yeah, but the thing
but
is
he's pushing
that,
it.
Right, that here's a key figure in the British national life who is all for it.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, he's 100% for this. He's the one, actually, he's the one behind this with Charles Schwab. Klaus Schwab. He's with this. He's working with him in this. So you have to look at William, because I don't think, you know, Charles is going to live like his mother. I just don't. He drinks too much. You know, but he.
You mean when you mean won't live like his mother? You think longevity wise, he won't last as many years. Right. Okay.
Correct. I mean, you already see signs of a struggle with him that you didn't see. You know, physically that you don't see with her, or you never saw with her. And I'm sure, you know, God's sovereign. It's, you know, it'll happen when it happens. But, he's already indoctrinated William, the son, and William has a child. William's on board with this. Harry, I find it strange that Harry came over here, gave up his titles, and he's promoting this agenda over here.
Wow.
So I think England will play a big part in this. And, you know, people have believed that for a long time over there. They had something to do with the end times, you know, and the Antichrist. They felt that for a long time over there. So we'll see. But, yes, England's on board. It just depends. It's a lot of people that aren't on board with it over there, and they're having, and don't let the news media fool you. That's one of the biggest propaganda tools there is out there. You don't see all the protests going on in every country. You don't see the people objecting to this. They're not advertising that.
Right.
Only the people who do YouTube who are, you know, putting out real news. There's people in YouTube that are putting out the real stories. You have solid people out there who are showing the truth. There's a lot of objection to this. And not everyone's going for the vaccine. Not everyone's going. But the news will tell you different. The news,
right.
You know, people are lining up to get the vaccine. That's not true.
Right, right.
That's not true. The
sure.
hospitals are overflowing with patients. That's not true.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is taking hold. We need to do that. That's not true.
Yeah.
People are just signing up to get the COVID passport. That's not true. You know, it's not
sure.
true. So there's resistance in every country, and they're
mm-hmm.
marching against us and protesting against us. See that on mainstream media. You'll not see it. But people are putting out real news there, and it's not the mainstream media. So I'm
mm-hmm.
just saying. So that people watch that and say, well, I might as well do this because everyone else is. No, that's not true.
Yeah, yeah.
Not true at all. So don't believe what you see in mainstream media.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
So,
okay, here's more.
It is great change. But you got to think about this, too. I'm not the only one that knows this. There are literally thousands of people that know what's going on. They're just not saying anything, or they're just participating in it, even though they know that this is treacherous. I don't understand how you can sleep at night. I don't understand how you can look at somebody in the eye and gab on, knowing that you're lying to them, knowing that you know what's happening. As a matter of fact, I can't even believe that you would actually take a place in the Trump administration, pretty high up, knowing everything that's going on, and yet not warn the president. There are a few people like that right now in the administration. But for you, proletariat citizen, of the new oligarchical technocracy, you of the new revolution, you just need to do what you are told. Do not question the revolution. Do not question the lockdown and shelter in place as the entire world is changed around you. You know, because the virus. And, you know, the lack of melanin in your skin means that you are complicit with the old system. You know, the system that must be abolished. Well, if you're not on with the new system, maybe you need to be abolished too. So the language that must be used to usher in a completely new system must center around everything about systems. And that is the primary reason why you are hearing the pundits and priests and priestesses or whoever wants to usher in the new woke intersectional social justice digital system saying these things. It's the new language. The first thing that they had to do, of course, was to criticize our current systems out of existence, problematize everything, correct? You criticize them at every opportunity, even creating fertile fallacies that will facilitate and give momentum to their narrative. Education, sexuality, health, policing especially. The reason that you have the defund the police movement is to defund law enforcement. And if you defund law enforcement, and it has to shut down or leave, what do you no longer have where you are? You don't have the law. It also has to be in governmental systems. It has to be in every faith. Everything has to be deconstructed and everything criticized out of existence. All systems must be burnt to the ground. All old systems must be shown to have systemic problems. even though our old systems in a democratic fashion actually work, and they were working quite well until the virus came along. So to problemize something is to look for, identify, or manufacture or expose the problematics in the old system associated with the old system. And so by criticizing literally everything, pancake syrup, rice boxes, even house descriptions like the phrase master bedroom, that's a big problem, classical music. You see, classical music is just too white. The rabid social justice critic must seek out and find those systemic things that might marginalize, exclude, minoritize, harm, cause oppression, or maintain hegemonic dominance in the new systems. So the new social justice-minded, neo-Marxist-inspired, postmodern modeled system of the new technocratic overlords is based upon the concepts of equity, equal outcomes for all. Today is November 2nd, 2020. Kamala Harris just released a cartoon last night all about equity. It's basically communism. That's who is actually running for the executive branch. They're not about equal opportunity, but equal outcomes. And every system that we currently have in our society must be changed. Education, economic, healthcare, legal systems and justice, our faith, police, law enforcement, environmental systems, our travel, our every way of life. Everything will be based upon a Foucauldian, Derridian, social justice-inspired, grievance-centered, vengeance-demanding system. Intersectionality. The new system discriminates. The new framework system for nearly everything, faith, justice, health, politics, economy, does discriminate. That's what intersectionality does. And as the great African-American scholar Thomas Sowell has stated, a society that puts equality in the sense of equality of outcome ahead of freedom will end up with neither equality nor freedom. The use of force to achieve equality will destroy freedom, and the force introduced for good purposes will end up in the hands of people who use it to promote their own interests. Those are wise words from Dr. Sowell. So we must stop what is coming, because you couldn't even imagine the horror and the totalitarian nightmarish control that is on the way. And we must help others to understand what is coming, how our entire society is being played, and how those that are the loudest voices in the protests are all being used as human chess pieces, all to accomplish a terrible great reset into the fourth industrial revolution, into the new open society. A great reset that you never knew anything about and never gave them permission to force upon you. But how did we get here? Well, it all started with a virus and the fear and terror that public health has brought to our nation. It is the rise of the Jacobins once again. And now that fear is the primary weapon of getting actual neo-Marxists elected to the presidency. And what will happen in the coming weeks in regards to our elections and an attempt to overthrow the government and systems of the United States will be absolutely frightening. No major corporation, media organization, not even the military establishment is on the side of the Constitution. They aren't concerned about the truth. They are concerned instead about operational success. So it is time for us to get serious. It's time to understand the causes of things all around you, right now, this very second. Our future depends upon it, and we must win. I am Michael O'Fallon, and this has been The Causes of Things.
I got to admit, this guy is fantastic.
I love listening to him. I think he has one of those, you know, he can put a story together well. And I think that he can, you know, he's very articulate in explaining things. Yeah,
sure.
I like him, too. He's a brilliant man.
Right. You know, in the pulpit, preachers use ranting, right? They rant. They lift their voices up high, you know, to make a point. And they look at you and they point their fingers at you. This guy doesn't do any of that, and he brilliantly makes his points.
Yes, exactly.
Right? Did he raise his voice? Did he raise his voice once? Not once. But
no.
Like you said, he's so articulate, and so, he hits the bullseye every time. This guy, I can listen to him day in and day out.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's done a lot of good shows on the causes of things, and I think it's important that we do need to understand that everything around us is changing. They have to change everything, and that's what they're trying to do now. And this locking down for our own safety, air quotes, you know, to protect us from a virus, these lockdowns are being used to change laws to eliminate things, you know, as we knew them, you know, the surrounding around us, the laws around us. Things are being changed while we're locked down and entertained, right?
Right.
You know, they're putting out videos and Netflix. Those were all made before or while COVID was going on. And, you know, it entertained people. Well, during that, changes were being made without objection because the people had no idea what was going on. They were focused on COVID and the lockdowns and surviving. And, you know, these leaders were changing laws, you know, doing whatever they needed to do to get this in place. So I just saw, by the way, that Hugo talks, the EU right now is banning large cash transactions under the guise of they're worried about money laundering.
Baloney.
They said. Baloney.
Now,
it
goes back to the Wells Fargo story that I was sharing, right? And
yes,
how
exactly.
my personal experience of going to the bank and just trying to take out $20.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
So.
Yeah. So you were right with that. You can see that in everything. And they said it's probably a better idea because of money laundering and the problem with it. Now, they're creating problems that we really have always had in society, but they're amplifying those problems. They're taking problems that were, you know, we've always dealt with in society, and they put it in the spotlight, you know, and they amplify that. They find a problem, and then they come up with this change and that they desire that fits the agenda. So their desire in this is to go digital, you see,
the
money to go digital. So, you know, we've always had that problem. These problems have always existed in a society, but now we need to change the entire society with these people.
And,
it's not going to work.
Right. Here's the thing. You don't money launder. I don't money launder. My wife doesn't money launder. Your husband doesn't money launder. My kids don't money launder. Your children. In other words, there's a small percentage of people that do money laundering. A small percentage. Now, the FBI and the CIA knows who these people are.
Correct.
Right or wrong? They know who these people are.
Yes.
Let me give you an example of money laundering. Here you have Joe Biden's son, right? Bo Biden. Oh no, not his name is not Bo. What's the name of this kid?
I don't know.
The President Biden's
Junior.
Son. Yeah.
Junior.
Yeah. Junior Biden. Okay. Now, recently, out of thin air, out of nowhere, came an artist.
Right.
Out of nowhere, there is art houses in New York that are featuring this bum's art. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And this artwork is going to the highest bidder. Well, okay, so here's Biden Jr. He gets paid, let's say, $3 million for something that he did. Now, to this point, no one has known him as an artist. No one. No
right.
one. But all of
right.
a sudden, one day, these galleries in New York and in China even, and I didn't even know they had art galleries in China, but now they do.
Yeah,
they're
really.
Pushing his,
really?
Yeah, they're pushing his artwork, which is worth. So what do you think happens? Okay, somebody who wants influence with Joe Biden buys a piece of art for $5 million. Now, you know, listen, my dog, if I had one, because I don't have one, but my dog could do better art than this Biden kid, right? Okay?
Yeah.
So why would they be paying $5 million? Well, again, money laundering. The excuse is I'm buying art, but really what they're doing is they're buying influence. Junior knows that money goes to daddy.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now, do you have
a
racket
point.
Like
yeah.
that? Do I have a racket
no.
like that? No. So if you wanna bust money laundering, go after the Bidens. Don't come after me. Don't come after Sister Marie. Listen, the FBI knows. The CIA knows. The IRS knows. Who's doing it? Who's not doing it? They know
Correct.
This. So
a lot
now
of
they use
involved
it.
In that kind of stuff.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So now you want to change the whole system, and nobody's guilty but these A-listers, these elite people, these governmental thieves. They're the ones doing it, and you want to change it and ruin our lives? That's the Great Reset.
It is. It's the bottom line. You're absolutely right there. It's taking, you know, minor problems that we've had in society with certain groups of people that don't affect the rest of the population normally, and then, like I said, amplifying it, and then, okay, now we need to change it. You know, we need to change everything.
Right.
Everything we've ever known as a society, we need to change. And that's crazy, crazy. Because you no longer have a society, you know, then. You know, you're just in communism then. That's it.
Correct. Correct. All your rights have been taken away. You have no more rights. You have no more say.
Right.
They dictate.
Right.
You know, and think about it. My governor, Governor Cuomo, it just came out a few hours ago, even before we came on the air, that he's guilty of all of this, you know, stuff with the women. He's guilty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He was.
Wow.
The probe into the accusations against Governor Cuomo, they found him to be unfit for office. Do you think he's leaving office? No.
No.
Not leaving
Same
office.
Same with mine. Our governor was guilty of taking campaign funds. They know it. You know, for trips. She's using it for trips. Now, they know that. They can prove that. Is she going anywhere? No. She has been stripped of her rights, her COVID rights. And she said, you know, I know COVID's coming. Now, this is how tricky they are. She said, I know COVID is rising. We're not sure in the state, but this is what she's saying. And the Republicans have tied my hands to do anything. No, what they did is they went in and said, you know what, you broke the law. You've overextended. You used a law back in the 1940s that was meant for a certain thing, and you've used that for COVID, and you've extended your right, and you've done things without consulting other parties. You're guilty of that. So they absolutely stripped her. But what has she already done? She's shifted her power illegally to health departments. They play a big part in that sales system. I can tell you that right now.
Right, right.
You know, I no longer trust my doctors. I'm going to be quite honest.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying all of them. I'm not saying all of them. But I'm just saying, you know, the first thing they're trying to do, and Dr. Coleman will tell you that. Vernon Coleman, he'll tell you that.
Right.
You know, you have to defend yourself against your doctors anymore. So, and he is a doctor. Because they have no idea. Either they're really naive, stupid. I don't know what to put it. You know, I just mm-hmm. don't get it. Or they're in on it. Or they just, you know, like you said, my one doctor, he, you know, when he argued with me, he said, no, you're wrong. When I said, well, you know, the vaccine doesn't stop you from getting it, and it doesn't stop you from passing it. He says, no, you're wrong. And I said, really? And he had to have a mask on because I
right.
didn't have a vaccine. And I mm-hmm. said, really? Then why are you wearing a mask? And that look he had was like,
right.
I don't know.
Right.
You know, like a deer in headlights. That was a perfect description of
right.
this guy looking at me that he never thought of that. This is a doctor.
Right.
Never thought
yeah.
of that.
Never thought
That's
of
scary.
It. And right. And he looked and he said to himself, boy, do I look stupid right now?
Exactly.
Do I look
I mean,
stupid?
You nailed him. I mean, totally. When you said that, that's exactly how I was trying to think of how to describe his
right.
response to that, and you nailed it without even
sure.
seeing him.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, that's, yeah, he, so I would guess that he's probably really just following what he's told, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't
right.
think there's anything. My other, you know, the other doctor, your family doctor you go to, you know, he just wanted to go on vacation. This is why he got his. He's
right.
bragging about being on vacation,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Sure.
So, yeah, so that's why he got it, just to go along with it. He's, so I don't know. Okay, we're on to audio two, and this is called Resisting the Woke Church with Daryl Harrison and Virgil Walker. We not only want to show the problems in woke Christianity and the social justice movement and the Great Reset and all that, but we also want to give you some solid biblical and practical advice on how to resist the movement. Now, this audio was posted in December 2020, and a considerable amount of time in the audio is spent by Daryl explaining, letting the listeners know what it's like living in liberal, woke California and being a Christian. And,
okay.
you know, and I thought about that and I thought, you know, oh, geez, he's not getting into it. He says more during living there to me after just, it made more sense to me after just coming off from holiday. And what he's saying is exactly right, you know, about
mm-hmm.
different states or different
right.
things. Their main focus, however, is on the divisive nature of social justice and racial reconciliation. Daryl is from Just Thinking Ministries. Virgil, his sidekick, is a pastor from the same ministry. Now, we've heard from them before. And they're being interviewed by Right Response Ministry with Pastor Joel Webben, I think his name is. So we're going to listen to the conversation. That's what we're going to do. Now,
okay.
I don't think the interviewer, the Pastor Joel, understands the movement and the seriousness of the situation like Daryl and Virgil do. If I were going to get an expert in the area of woke Christianity, racial reconciliation, social justice, right now, to me, the two top are Virgil and Daryl. I would say that right up front. I think they're on it. They've studied. They know their history. They know biblical history. They understand the Bible, you know. So I think that using them for this is something I don't think I could use anybody else that can nail it like these two. That's, you know,
mm-hmm.
we're trying to get the best information we can, and I think these two can provide it. So a lot of the time, you know, you'll hear about you know, California and what it's like, but he's actually living there. And like I said, the interviewer, you know, I don't know how to put it politely, but I think that he doesn't understand the seriousness of this like they do. They know exactly what's going on. So this is why we're using them again.
Okay.
And I think you like them, and I love their humor.
Absolutely.
I mean, I can always see humor,
absolutely,
a calmness. You could sit with these guys, couldn't you? Don't you feel that?
Absolutely.
You
could absolutely
feel right at home having coffee
right.
and whatever
right.
and sitting around with these two guys. I mean, I just love them. And I really, their demeanor, their seriousness, you know, and their humor all help, you know, understand things, you know, serious things in a more relaxed way, if you can say that. I don't know. They just, they have a relaxing personality. And I could listen to both of them. Virgil, he's a pastor. He's a good pastor, by the way. He's a very good pastor. He doesn't say much in the beginning, but as it goes on, he does. So we'll listen to it and feel free to stop at any time. And we'll see if we, you know, if there's any answers to how we can resist this movement other than just saying no. I would say no and follow the Bible, obviously. But we're going, you know, there's things that they discuss to and explain that show us, you know, what it's like to live an everyday life with this movement going on around us. So, okay.
All right. Here's the audio. Now, do you want me to start it right from the beginning, or is there a starting point?
Yeah, you can start it from the beginning. The, like I said, the interview is a little goofy in the beginning, but, you know, once we get to Daryl, we're good.
All right. Here we go.
Okay.
Applying God's word to every aspect of life. This is Theology Applied.
How does that sound? I know it came on a little strong in the beginning. How does it sound now?
That's good.
Okay.
That sounded good.
All right. Welcome to another episode of Theology Applied with Right Response Ministries. I'm your host, Pastor Joel Webben. Today, I'm very honored and privileged to have two of my friends, just incredible men of God who have done a lot of great, courageous work for the church at large, standing up against some of the false ideologies and vain philosophies that keep creeping into the church and sadly even into good reformed churches. A lot of people I don't think are malicious. I think a lot of people on this particular subject are just being played, that they're just being deceived, that their sympathy and sentiment is getting the best of them. They just need to be properly educated and informed about what the Bible says, in particular to the issue of social justice, racial reconciliation, identity politics, these kinds of topics, this big Trojan horse issue. And I think two of the leading voices on this subject, even if they were white, they'd be leading voices because their content is what matters. But two brothers, Daryl Harrison, Virgil Walker, can you guys introduce yourselves from the Just Thinking Podcast, Incredible Men of God?
Yeah, I'll get started, man. Virgil Walker. I'm half of the dynamic duo known as the Just Thinking Podcast, Just Thinking Crew. I'm here in Omaha, Nebraska, excited to be a part of what's going on. Can't wait, Brother Joel, to have this conversation with you, and glad to be here with my main man, Daryl.
Daryl Harrison, the other half of the Just Thinking Podcast, which I co-host with my main man, Virgil Walker. I'm based here in Southern California in the Valencia area. Day job is as Dean of Social Media with Grace to You. Glad to be with you here. Once again, Joel, it's been a long time, brother. Good to be with you.
Yeah, it's been a while. The last time I think Daryl was, for both of you guys in person, was at the Shepherd's Conference, and it was right before all the craziness of COVID-19 and little did we know what 2020 would have in store for us. So,
In fact, it was right after that ShepCon and we got home that all of the shutdowns started taking place.
That's right. Yeah, right. Our nation, our nation, especially California, where me and Daryl are, has been very much committed to you know, seeing a spider in the house and then going ahead and just, let's just burn the whole house down, to get that spider. So, all right. So before we hop into our topic, I got to bring it up with you, Daryl, because you're a fellow California citizen in a state that greatly aspires to reach the likeness of other up and coming third world countries like Venezuela or North Korea or China. What is it like for you, Derek? Because I know you're conservative. I know your politics. I've gleaned so much from you. What is it like having your views and living in California? What's that like?
Yeah, California is different. And, you know, just so your viewers and listeners will know, let me give a little bit of background. I'm a native of Atlanta, Georgia. My wife Melissa and I, we relocated to Southern California in January of 2019 to take an opportunity here to join the staff at Grace to You, which is the Bible teaching ministry of John MacArthur. And most of your viewers probably know that John MacArthur's church, Grace Community Church, is based here in Southern California. So my wife and I relocated from Atlanta to Valencia, California in January of 2019. So I've been here close to 2 years now. And I have to say that one of the things, there are many things that I'm still getting used to in this transition from Georgia to California. And one of those things is just the political climate here. The political climate here seems to me, as an outsider, having been here for almost a couple years now, the political climate here is such that long-term residents of the state, natives of the state, seem content to put up with and adjust to some of the most onerous, burdensome laws and regulations, all for the sake of being able to live in a state where the weather is nice every day.
Right.
That's what it seems to me. I mean, this is some of the things I'm learning. You know, I've been able to vote in two elections now since I moved here to California. I've been able to vote in two elections here. And some of the things, the referendums and whatnot that you see on the ballots, especially here in LA County, where I live, are just unbelievable. There was the cost of living here, the degree to which government basically runs or to a very great degree influences life here in this state.
Right.
It seems to be, to me anyway, where most of the folks who live here, they just sort of put up with it. There's nothing that they won't push back on from the standpoint of government intrusion in exchange for the sun coming out every day, as if the government had anything to do with the sun coming out every day.
Right, right. Yeah, it's, man, the regulation, you know, it always seems like, you know, it's safety versus liberty, right? It seems like in order for a government to be able to take more individual liberty away from its citizens, there has to be some kind of trade that the citizens find attractive. They have to see the value in it, and it always seems like public safety, it becomes the bait for citizens to be willing to forfeit individual freedom, individual liberty. I grew up in Texas, and at the end of this year, I'm taking, you know, leading a team of 20 people out of California, leaving our church to plant a new church in the Republic of Texas, going back. And in Texas, you know, if you want to ride in the bed of a truck, it's dangerous. Your safety is in jeopardy, but you have the freedom to be stupid, right? Mm-hmm. Like the government's not reaching in when I'm taking a shower to turn down the hot water so I don't burn myself. You know, it's just get out of my bathroom, get out of my house, get out of my life, and give me freedom. But I think if you can scare the populace, right, with some kind of, and that's why it seems like the Democratic Party, it's always some kind of threat, right? It's climate crisis, it's COVID-19, there's always got to be some kind of threat to the public safety, to where the people will say, we'll pay you in freedom for you to give us back in return our safety. And that trade, a lot of the country is not willing to make, but Californians, they love to make that trade. I don't know what it is. I haven't been able to figure it out.
I like that that sort of wordplay you're doing there. You know, we're in trade with the government in exchange for good weather here in California. Yeah, we'll put up with higher taxes. We'll put up with more burdensome regulations. We'll put up with, you know, especially in the midst of this COVID situation,
right.
And we'll put up with more restrictions on our freedoms. And you look at, for example, Bernard and I, the past couple of months, we've done a lot of travel. We've probably been to 5 or 6 states going to speak at one church or another. And the thing that I've learned in our recent travels is that once you're outside of California, that's America. Outside of California.
Yeah.
Everything outside of California is relatively normal still. Mm-hmm. We've been to Florida, Georgia, Louisiana, through Texas, Missouri, states like that. So once you're outside of California, that seems like America. But once you're back in California, it really has the feel in contradistinction to those other states,
right,
that this is very much an element of a third world nation.
Yeah.
Venezuela, Cuba, North Korea, because you can't even listen when you have the government telling you now what you can and can't do within the confines of your own private residence.
Right.
Then your residence is no longer private.
That's right.
Your residence is no longer private. When the government just by edict, okay, just by edict, when a Newsom or the governor of Washington State or the governor of Michigan can just by edict sign their name to a document and say that within your own home, you can only have a certain number of individuals present, and even when they're present, you must be masked up. This is
right.
Within your own home. Now,
right.
Well, that's what Cuomo did for last Thanksgiving. He said you can only have 10 people in your house for Thanksgiving. And
yes.
And then he wanted state troopers to just pop into different homes and the State Troopers Association of New York told him, we ain't doing that.
Yep, I remember that. You telling
right?
us about that, I remember it. Yep.
And that's what he can you imagine Thanksgiving only 10 people? Think about it. At the home presently, I have 4 children, Daniel, Rachel,
mm-hmm.
Maggie, Madison. Let's just say,
mm-hmm.
they're teenagers, but let's just say if they were all married, we would meet our quota with just my wife and me and the 4 kids and their spouses.
Yeah.
So that means
we would have to leave
the grandchildren somewhere else.
Yeah, we went through that. We had a quota here of people you could have in your home. We just broke it.
Right.
We just had as many as we wanted. We did what we
sure.
wanted to do. Why? Because we wanted I wanted normal for my kids and my grandkids. A normal
Absolutely.
Holiday.
Absolutely.
And that's what I wanted. We're not dealing with that, we'll break. And, even during the quarantine, my kids, you're not supposed to break quarantine. They did to come and see their mother.
Right.
You know, they weren't going to. And it's not that you're lawless then. I mean, think about it. You know, the
sure.
disciples disobeyed the governing authorities when it caused them to be disobedient to God. You know, so when the disciples, for example, when they were put into jail for preaching Christ, they were told not to do it again. They went
right
back out and did it anyway because
Correct.
They were obeying God instead of man, you know.
Sure.
And think about believers who helped Paul escape when the authorities were looking for him,
Mm-hmm.
Believers
sure.
helped them escape. So, there's good judgment or whatever. But, that Pastor Rick mentioned something there. He says, something about going back to Texas and not having the water shut off. Well, I wouldn't count on that after what AJ went through with the
right,
heat,
right.
Right. In Texas. So,
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah,
he's right.
But,
I mean, it is different. What Daryl's saying there is when you leave a certain state, like when you leave New York, if you went out west, you wouldn't feel that anything has changed.
Right.
You have no feeling that anything. We live in such a bubble, you know, of misinformation in the states that we're in, where everything around us centers around COVID and the vaccine and masks and social
right.
distancing and all this. But when you get away from that and you see people, that's why I would advise if you can go somewhere out west, do it, you know, because you get an idea that the rest of the country is just living their lives. There's
right.
certain areas that are just going to work every day, just like it was before.
Right.
That's a problem for the government, but they're doing it. And you will see that it takes the fear out of it. You know, it takes the fear. These people operate in fear. So it takes the
right.
fear out of everything that's being crammed down your throat, you know, about this virus. Because
right.
you see
right.
people living normal. So, you know, I
yeah.
would advise
the
that.
Other thing is, the other thing is that the news media, right, for example,
yes.
MSNBC, ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox
mm-hmm.
News, CNN, all of these news media outlets are basically all operating mainly out of New York. And they're
yep.
liberal, right? They're liberal.
Yep.
So they have this agenda to kind of paint a blanket picture that this is going on throughout the country. Then when you go outside of your state and you
mm-hmm.
actually see, wait a minute, these people are dining, they're out, they're,
yep.
they have parties, they have I thought Fox News was telling us that this is what – no, so it's even embarrassing for the media who's also lying.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, people, it's totally – they're lying. And what he said about Venezuela, it's amazing because you said that. They're turning
right.
California into Venezuela or the country
sure. –
whatever, that's exactly what you said, and that's exactly what he saw in that. And, you know, in California, the government or the governor there invited homeless people to come out there and live for the weather. So it's better weather out here. Come
crazy,
on.
Crazy.
So
crazy.
He's inviting the homeless to, and we're not saying anything about the homeless. What I'm saying is when you have a bunch of people moving in who can't, get jobs or are not getting jobs, and it's all about the benefits, you have no one contributing there, you know. And what's going to happen to the economy? What's going to happen to the property value, you know?
Well, listen, I can tell you, and as a pastor myself, I have a big heart for homeless people. I'm not against the homeless. I am sympathetic
yes, exactly.
to the homeless. But one of the reasons why I don't take my family down to New York City is because I don't want them tiptoeing over feces, right?
Yeah.
Because when you
yeah.
go down to Manhattan now under de Blasio, you got homeless camps, you got poo-poo everywhere, you got drug
mm-hmm.
needles. I don't want my kids
yep.
tiptoeing over all that stuff.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
And then yeah, the police
yep.
do nothing. This policeman standing on the corner having a conversation like nothing, and you got homeless people on the floor everywhere, defecation, the smell in the summer, my goodness. If you
yeah.
get out of a taxi and you take a whiff of that, oh, my God, please. It's awful.
Yeah. It
and
is.
I don't understand how they have outdoor cafes. They have outdoor cafes where you know, you got your pinky up in the air, you're drinking, you're sipping something, and there's some homeless people, and you get a whiff of that? Please.
Yeah. They're letting everything be
yeah.
destroyed.
Correct.
They're allowing it.
Correct. Correct. Correct.
You can't figure it out. I can't figure it out. but they're allowing everything to be destroyed.
Sure.
Everything.
Sure. Absolutely. Okay, here's more.
When that happens, when that happens, as it's happening right now, something has got to click within your mind that
right.
this is not supposed to be happening in America.
Right.
It is not. Now, we all know, as Christians, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, that the law has its place.
Right. Right.
Law has its place. But what we're seeing right now is a total bastardization of the role that the God-given role that government was designed by God to
right.
play in the context of Romans 13. This is
right.
that. This is not that role.
No, it's not.
So,
no.
So when we have objective empirical evidence that government, instead of governing, is now ruling,
mm-hmm.
it's one thing to govern. It's another thing to rule.
Right.
Okay, government exists to govern, not
right.
to rule over us. So something has got to click in your head that says when I'm being. Remember, Frederick Douglass said this. Frederick Douglass said, "I didn't know I was a slave until I couldn't do the things I wanted."
Right, right.
That's what's happening
yeah.
right now. We are being made slaves in a country that was founded on freedom, a country that was
right.
founded, so they couldn't become slaves. So you have liberals, primarily in the Democrat Party. And I love what you said, Joel. They want to make a crisis out of everything. But you look at the
right.
Democrat Party historically, the Democrat Party never addressed the crisis that was actually the crisis. They never addressed
okay.
slavery. See, slavery was the crisis.
Right.
Democrats tried to scare black people into thinking that freedom was not good for them.
Mm-hmm.
So what liberals do, they will flip the script. So whatever they say the crisis is probably not that.
Right. Yep. And they create a crisis. I like what you said about Frederick Douglass. You know, like, I didn't know I was a slave until I was eventually hindered or prohibited from doing the things I desired to do. And I think in terms of Californians, I think part of the reason is they don't know they're enslaved because I think of the C.S. Lewis quote, you know, that, like, our problem is not that we desire too much, it's we desire too little. And
right.
I think part of the problem is we've got too many Christians nationwide, but especially in California, it seems like we have too many Christians that are content with just too low of aspirations, too little of desires. And so for me, I know for myself, part of it for me was my theology. And so my theology initially that led me to California, to plant the church that I planted here. I've been here for 11 years. A lot of my driving force was I want to plant a church. I want to preach the gospel, and I want to make converts. I want to baptize people. And so by God's grace, in the last decade, I baptized over 100 people. And now at this stage of my life, I've realized I never want less than the Great Commission. I never want less than discipling, baptizing, preaching. I just want more. Now what I want is I want to plant churches that preach law and gospel, that see people converted, that are discipled. The Great Commission, will always forget this part, teaching them to obey all of Christ's commands. So I want to disciple people into all of Christ's commands, not just the red letter, but the whole Bible is Christ. You know, and so teaching them all of Christ's commands, and I want to see baptisms, I want to see conversion, but then I also want to see members in my church have the freedom to start families, start a business, run for local office, start a publishing company, start schools. I mean, you look at the Puritans, you look at church history, and one of the first things Christians did is that the beachhead was the church. You plant a church, and then immediately you start a school. Right, and then you start some kind of printing press, and then you're starting businesses, and I think as Christians we've just become content with just getting in the trenches and slugging it out, and there's good noble motivations there, but I think we're content to just be behind enemy lines, in the trenches, working towards conversion, snatching souls from the fire, and that's good gospel work. Praise God for that. But part of me feels like, man, if we were willing to just to not see it as quitting, but a tactical retreat for a generation or two, let California fall on its face because Christians are no longer propping it up,
then send our grandkids back in to take over the land. I feel like that's a great strategy.
I like that. And you know what, Joel, as I listen to you, you know, what comes to my mind is that you talk about slavery. See, slavery is mental first. Slavery is mental. Slavery is even for those who historically have been physically in bondage. The ultimate goal, that's never the end goal, is to keep you physically in bondage, to keep you in shackles, in braces. The goal is to get you thinking up here, that you are slaves, so that you embrace that to such a degree that they can take the shackles off and you don't try to escape.
Yeah.
You see, you get my point here?
Yeah.
So mental, this, what we're seeing right now in America and in the world is the greatest psychological operations in world history, what the military would call PSYOPs for short. This is the greatest PSYOPs undertaking in the history of the world. And now we have, you know, looking at right now in Jude verse 3, where Jude writes, I felt the necessity to write to you appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith. The faith is to be contended for. Now, part of a layer of that contention as believers is to assess the landscape of the world, the culture, and society through the lens of the gospel. Okay? That's called having a biblical worldview of the culture, society, and the world in which you live. And what we're doing, I love what you put, it was really sad that you had to say that, Joel, but you were right. We have believers within the church right now who are so comfortable in their Christianity that they don't view it as something that needs to be contended for. Now, we don't pick fights with anyone. We don't want to initiate with anyone, not at all. But what we're experiencing right now, when the government says you can't open your church, and we've got Christians out here who are confused. They're confused that the Constitution actually gives us the right to open and worship. Right. But that's not the reality. The Constitution protects the inalienable right that we already have to worship.
That's right. Yeah.
So for anyone whose church out there is not open, there is no excuse for that.
Right.
Now, if you disagree with me, you can come at me. Don't come at Joel. You can come at me. But until Christians understand that the Constitution doesn't give us the right to worship.
That's right. That's right.
That's what the word inalienable means. That is, it is explicit of this present realm.
That's
okay.
Right.
The Constitution protects a right that we already have.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But we have Christians today who are so complacent, especially in California. Oh well, I don't want to ruffle any feathers. I don't want to cause any trouble. The gospel is the message of causing trouble.
Yeah, it's an offense.
Jesus' whole earthly ministry caused trouble.
Yeah.
And matter of fact, if I could just get this in here, because I think it fits with the context of what we're talking about here, Joel. By the time this airs to your audience, this episode will already be out. But as we record this interview, Virgil and I are working on an episode of our next Just Thinking podcast that's going to be titled An Exposition of Biblical Unity.
Mm.
And I'm going to be bursting a lot of bubbles in that episode about what unity looks like and what unity does not look like. And one of the things biblical unity does not look like is passivity.
Right.
Passivity and just sitting back on your lazy boy and letting the government dictate to you how you're supposed to live. That's slavery.
Right. Yeah.
All right, my sister, you want to, these guys, listen, they are, how would I say this, I don't want to use the word bewitching, but once you start listening to them, you know, you don't want to stop. You just want to let it roll. They're so good, right? They're so mesmerizing.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
They make so many good points.
Correct.
In such
Correct.
A short amount of time. That it's hard to keep up with them because it's like, wait a minute, that's a good point. Let me think about that, you know.
Right.
One of the things I think that I noticed Daryl shut down real quick was the idea is, you know, the pastor, the interviewer says, well, you know, I want to plant churches and baptize, you know, and you say, okay, and we should be in business, we should be in politics, you know, we should be doing this. And it's like, wait a minute, right now we're in a slugfest. That's basically what Daryl was saying. look for the gospel, you know? And he was absolutely right in that. We're in the middle of this, you know? Yeah, we can, you know, we can preach the gospel, but right now we're fighting, you know? We're in fight
right.
mode because our rights are being taken away. And I think Daryl brought him back to reality with that. Said, okay, but this is the task at hand right now. You know,
right.
we need to fight to keep the truth out there. And he is right, though. Too many people are complacent and not realizing that they are slaves already. He made that point. You know, he's right. The authorities do try to convince people that freedom is not a good thing. So they offer all these social programs that create bigger government, and they're actually enslaving the people, not helping them. So the idea that anyone can make it in America if they just apply themselves, that idea is being destroyed. They can't have that mindset. So they need a victim mentality to thrive. That's
right.
part of the agenda. So no victims, no enslaving, you know.
Right.
And we have these superstars out there that are, you know, that have made millions, these athletes and all that off America, and they're telling other people they can't do it. That's a lie.
Mm-hmm.
They're lying. They
sure.
did it, but they're telling other people, and it doesn't make sense. So what they're actually doing is enslaving people, you know. Think of all the slaves who long for freedom. So how is it that people now long for slavery, you know, for the government to be their nanny? I don't
right.
get it. I don't
well,
get
we saw,
it.
Yeah, we saw the same thing when the children of Israel, after having been freed from Egypt, how many people were back in the wilderness
wanted to go
and
back.
Said, let's go back.
Yeah, they went back
because
the food was better.
Right, because it was a nanny state. Because they were
yes.
part of the Egypt was a nanny state. You go
yeah.
to work, you're a slave, and we feed you.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
So that's it. That's it. And so no, the pastor who's running to Texas, and again, I don't want to judge his motives, right? I mean,
yeah. Yep.
Okay, so he's in California. He's found it a little
mm-hmm.
hard. So he's running to Texas because it's going to be a little easier there, right? No, stand
mm-hmm.
your ground in California and contend for the faith.
Exactly, exactly.
Because what's going to – listen, there are people from California moving to Texas by the millions.
Yes.
Yep. And listen, there are people in California fleeing to Texas. What
yeah.
do you think they're going to bring with them when they flee to Texas? The same mindset. It's
exactly.
only going to follow. It's only going to follow you there. So stand your ground where you're at. Don't give the enemy
mm-hmm.
an inch, and earnestly contend for the faith.
Yeah.
I could be pastoring today. I could be pastoring, but listen.
Mm-hmm.
What's more important in this hour is to contend.
Yeah.
That's what's more. Why?
Yeah.
Because, listen, pastors, they're by the boatload. You can find pastors, I mean, they're by the thousands. By the thousands you have
yeah.
pastors. But you don't have contenders. And that's why we're losing the battle. Because we have too many pastors
it.
And no contenders.
Right.
We have guys who love the paycheck, love to go play golf. They're part of the country club. They're, you know,
mm-hmm.
the good old boy club, but nobody wants to contend.
Network, yeah.
That's it.
Right.
And that, listen, this is, contending is where the action is. That's where the action is. If you got, if
exactly.
you're a real pastor and you like to rock 'em, sock 'em, this is where the action is, contending.
Yes, absolutely. And I've said that, you know, the difference, an apologist, you know, the difference, an apologist will defend the faith, but a polemicist will go into the fight. They go in with the boxing gloves on. And that's what we need, times, because I think, you know, I listened to Daryl. He was so polite to that guy. He said, oh, those are great ideas. Yeah, we should, you know, But no, we need to be fighting right now.
Basically,
right. That's what he said. You know, we need to be contending for, you know, and when he gave him Jude, that's a perfect example, because I had written that down too as a great scripture. You know, he was going in, beloved, you know, when I give all diligence to write unto you,
right,
of the common salvation. They were going to talk about salvation. It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye earnestly contend for the faith, which was once delivered to the saints. You know, it's like, this is an emergency now. Okay? We're going to talk about salvation. No, subject's changed. We need
right.
to contend for the faith right now, and that's where we're at. For certain men, for there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ, you know.
Right.
Now, I believe the old there, I have a question for you. Would that mean the old, as far as they were written about before, is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. When he said they're of old, okay.
Right.
All
they're
right.
of old, yeah. It's now here's the thing. Going back to your main point, right, about contending. I'll present this example. Let's just say that I am working on my garden. Let's just
right.
say that I'm out and I'm working on my tomatoes and looking at the eggplants, and I'm de-weeding, you know, I got this nice little garden, an acre garden, where I'm just, okay. And from afar, I see that my chimney's on fire. Then
right.
I hear my wife screaming, there's a fire, there's a fire. Now, what do? Do I keep de-weeding my tomatoes and, or do I run to the
yes.
house and start fighting the fire?
Mm-hmm.
You see, there's a when
yeah.
we're in peacetime, work on your tomatoes. When there's
right.
work on your garden. But the moment there's a fire in your house, there's a fire in the chimney, boy, you better turn into a fireman. You better start
right.
getting buckets of water, and that's contending.
Yes.
See? And this hour calls, the church is on fire. The country's on fire.
Yeah.
And you have to shift gears. This thing about, well, my house is on fire, let me go and establish another house in another state. That doesn't make sense. And like
no.
you said,
no.
the brothers being apologetic.
You know, to everything there is a season. Remember, Ecclesiastes
yeah.
talks about
and,
that.
Listen,
this
listen.
Is the season we're in, is fighting, contending. We're in
right.
that season right now.
Well, you were
you
up
know?
In the mountains. You were up in the mountains, and you and your husband smelled mm-hmm. a little smoke, a little burning coming from your brakes. At that
mm-hmm.
moment in time, you stopped what you're doing, and you took the car to a mechanic.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
You see,
yep.
you have to address the emergencies of the moment.
Yep.
And the emergency of the moment right now is to what? Contend.
Yep.
We have to contend. This is not a time to be going to this conference and that conference and comparing sizes of your churches and what you're doing. And
yeah.
I want to plant. I want to baptize. All that's normal stuff. But
mm-hmm.
God is calling us to contend, to shift
there's
gears.
There's a fire.
There's
a fire.
That's
yep.
it. You got to deal with the fire. You got to deal with it.
Yep.
If I drop to the if I'm in the kitchen and I fall to the ground, I expect one of my kids or my wife to start CPR and someone else to call 911. I don't expect
correct.
Them to say, well, Daddy hit the floor, let's have lunch. Right? I mean,
sorry.
He'll get up. He'll get up soon. Let's have lunch.
Yeah.
Let's eat. Let's eat before.
Wonder what's
gets
wrong
cold.
With him.
Right. No.
I'm
no.
Sorry,
this is a time. This is right. This is a time to spring to action.
Yes.
That's what we
exactly.
have to do. not time to be running or, you know, and again, I'm not questioning.
Yeah, well, Daryl shut that down right away. I mean,
well,
when he said that, I thought, oh, yeah, we'll build it for the next two generations. Who's say there will be two more generations? We don't know. The way things are going right now, we have no idea if there'll be any more. You know, we know the urgency being in this. I mean, come on.
In
how
our
many
previous,
years have we been, we had an urgency in the show
right.
for years.
In
There's
our,
been an urgency.
In our, right. In our previous audio, we heard O'Fallon said that one of the things that they're going to do in America is what they did in China. They told you
mm-hmm.
how many kids you could have.
Correct.
There might not even be a next generation.
Exactly.
There might not even be one. And if you don't contend, they're going to tell you, you know what, you can't have any babies.
Mm-hmm.
That's how wicked these people are. So you got to contend for the now. You got to fight for today. That's what you have to do because you honestly don't know what these jokers have up their sleeve for tomorrow. Now, you know it's evil. You know that what they have up their sleeve is evil. They haven't shown their hand yet completely, but you know that if you don't fight back, if you don't push back,
and,
you know, you're not going to have a country.
And you don't realize how, I mean, if you think about it now, the word suddenly should be relevant to you because they can do things overnight, as we found out.
Overnight. An executive order overnight, right? An executive order. And most of these executive orders are signed on Friday, late in the afternoon, when people are leaving work. They're looking forward to the weekend. They don't want to go over anything political. They're tired of the policy. So they do these executive orders Friday afternoon when they know no one's paying attention.
Yep. That's right.
That's the way they do it. That's the way they do it.
Yep.
Okay. We have a few more minutes here. Let's squeeze in a few more minutes. These guys are wonderful.
Okay.
And I think that's the problem. When we talk about personal rights, there's passive rights and there are active rights.
Right.
And we've started thinking, you know, that there's a right to health care. There's a right to university. There's a right to even, you know, universal housing, universal income, where people become pets. You know, you like that's what a pet is. A pet, you know, like doesn't have to produce, it doesn't have to work. It, you know, you feed it, you take it to the vet, and you know, human beings aren't meant to be pets. And so, but when these active rights, like healthcare, it sounds good, but what we don't realize is it takes that doctor and it says that his passive right, namely his property, his labor, his intelligence, his work, doesn't belong to him anymore. It belongs to me. It makes so my active rights to healthcare takes away the passive right of the doctor to his own labor, to his own property, his intellectual property, his experience, all those things. And so I think as our generation becomes more and more entitled to those active rights, we see the freedom of those inalienable rights, human rights, the right to own property, the right to own your own labor, your own gifts, all that begins to erode. As entitlement rises, active rights begin to infringe upon passive rights, and the right of the collective begins to enslave the individual, and people just get stuck. And you can wrap it all in really flowery, good-sounding, generosity, biblical language. You can really, anytime somebody wants, I forget who said the quote, but he was like, anytime the culture adopts a new liberal principle, you can be sure that some liberal theologian will find a verse in the Bible for.
Sure.
And,
I'm tempted to name names, but I'm not going to do that. Listen, Joe, just to say this real quick.
Yeah.
When you talk about active rights taking priority or primacy over passive rights, see, the Bible calls that stealing.
That's right. That's theft.
The Bible calls that stealing. Okay, that's just another way of stealing. The word rights has done more damage to this country in the past 60 years probably than any other word. Now, and you look at a state like California, generally speaking, in terms of mindset, they're proud here. They're proud to call themselves progressive. They are proud. They take it as a badge of honor when the government gets even more onerous and burdensome on your life. Think about that for a second. Californians like to boast in the fact that we're progressive. We're leading the nation in forward thinking. We're visionaries. We're progressives in the way we think. And progressivism is defined in such a way as to find any avenue possible to apply someone else's or some group's active rights up against your passive rights,
right,
so that your passive rights are overtaken, which makes you a slave to others' active rights. And here in California, that's a thing to be celebrated.
Right.
Okay, we're going to stop it at the 21-minute mark.
This
is so good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the pastor likes to use flowery words, and our brother here just says, no, let's call it what it is. It's stealing. You're calling it passive rights, and you're calling it, and he said, no, listen, let's just call it what the Bible calls it, stealing. And again, see, when you're a contender, you don't pussyfoot.
Mm-hmm.
You don't dance around the issue. When you're a contender,
right
in your face. This is what it is. See, that's what
exactly.
You do. You know, this guy likes to. He again, nice guy.
Yeah.
But he wants to sound intellectual, and I guess there's a mm-hmm. place for that. I just like plain language. Where when you say to me, I'll meet you at the schoolyard at 3 o'clock, and then at 3 o'clock we're just throwing haymakers,
That's exactly.
That's it.
He did mention a show on biblical unity, and I would love. I'm thinking, man, I want to hear that. So it might be
absolutely
something we do in the future with these two. But yeah, I think everything they're saying here, there's just to know what it's like to be in California with this going on, knowing what they're doing in California, the most liberal state, I think, in the United States right now, it's informative. And, it's Marxism. Anyone trying to take away your stuff, that's just Marxism.
Sure.
You gotta understand that.
I don't want anyone coming into my house and taking my stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want that.
That's right.
And neither do you.
No.
Right? Do you want any?
No.
Do you want people parking them? Listen. Nancy Pelosi, the progressive liberal from San Francisco,
mm-hmm.
she has no homeless people parking themselves on her mansion grounds. None.
Oh, no. Not at all.
None. But it's okay for them to park themselves where you live at. She's okay with that.
Right.
You see? Double standard.
Yeah.
All these people have double standards. So, great show.
There's no
always.
Winners in Marxism, only the Marxist.
Right. Now, we're coming back on Friday at 1 o'clock to do part two on this. So, great show. I'll see you Friday. And you, my dear sister, have the last word.
Well, I was looking at the site, and it was showing you're giving away the book on crybaby jackass bishops, right?
Right. Right.
Are you sending that out?
Yeah, whoever wants it, they just have to email us. And again, I don't use flowery language. You're a jackass, and that's what we're going to call you. And that should provoke a fight right there when somebody calls you a jackass. So, it's a free book.
Well, you mentioned flowery language, and I thought of that right away. Your book.
Correct.
So order, email, get the book. It's great. And let me give you a hint. He knocks him out in round two.
Okay.
I'll give you a hint on that. All right. We'll see you Friday. Have a great day. Take care. Bye.
when I sail the lonely deep, when the midnight watch I keep, I stand amazed as stars on the billows gleam. No, I know a storm is rising high above a dark horizon. I know, oh Lord, I know you are here with me. So let the delight, Lord, let it shine out of your heart and hearing in mine. When it rains from heaven above, let it rain sweet heavenly love. Let there be light, oh Lord, let there be light. There's a call on the restless tide, like a longing endless night, and it breaks the bow like a raging symphony. Though I may be far from shore, I am anchored to heaven's door. And oh Lord, I know you are here with me. So let there be light, and Lord, let it shine out of your heart, here and in mine. Lead me out of the eye of the storm into the promise of the crimson dawn. Let there be light, oh Lord, let there be light. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough. Find me here, oh Lord, surrounded by an ocean of love. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough. Find me here, oh Lord, surrounded in an ocean of love. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough. Find me here, oh by an ocean of your love. So let there be light, and Lord, let it shine out of your heart, here and in mine. Lead me out of the eye of the storm into the promise of the crimson dawn. Let there be light, oh Lord, let there be light. Let there be light, sweet Jesus, let there be light. Let there be light, oh Lord, let there be light.